Welcome to Kairos Church, where we encourage one another daily to live and love like Jesus. We're so glad you're here. Join us each week as we dive into God's Word and explore what it means to live a life of faithful worship, devoted discipleship, authentic community, and intentional mission. If you're in the area, we'd love to see you in person. Our service is every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. You're welcome here anytime. Hope you enjoy the service. Good morning. My name is Lindsay Slocum. I'm the lead pastor here at Kairos. I am delighted to see you. I have spent the weekend in Big Canoe on the women's retreat, and I want you to know it is fabulous. I did just literally get, well, maybe I shouldn't tell you this. Someone may or may not have a flat, but I'm sure it's not your spouse. I'm sure it's fine. Everything's fine. It's your spouse. Okay, good. You already know then. Okay, I'm like, ooh, am I about to spill a secret? But you already know. Yeah, it must be Chrissy. If you are a woman and you were not with us this weekend, we missed you. And I hope that you will put that on your calendar for next year. It was a great, great weekend to be together. Super beautiful, Big Canoe. Just really, really lovely. Good time to be together. This morning, we are continuing our sermon series as we're looking at the four core values of Kairos that the leadership team has been praying and working, this mission statement to encourage one another daily to live and love like Jesus, and what does that look like? How do we do that? And so we've looked at the different values. We looked at authentic community, we looked at faithful worship, and this morning at devoted discipleship. And so this is a screen. I know you can't read this. This is a screenshot from the website. The reason I'm showing you this is because on the website, there's this really beautiful theological language that the leadership team pulled together from the four rhythms of the kind of original folks who brought Kairos together. And then there was a group of people. My predecessor led a group through to put some theological language together through three kind of important aspects of being a Christian, and then the Acts 2 passage that we look to, a lot of stuff went together to put together the language for these four core values. So I want to make sure that you know that's there, and that at some point you'll go into kairosatlanta.org and look at those four values. But this morning we're going to turn in the Old Testament to the book of Joshua, but before we do that, let's go to God in prayer. Let's pray. Holy God, we are always grateful to be in your presence, to be at your feet, and to be in your word. And so, God, we pray that this morning, then, that you would speak, that you would mold us and shape us into the disciples that you desire for us to be. And as we encounter you in this word, Lord, the living God, that you continue to speak to us. Lord, may this encounter with you be so powerful that we cannot walk away unchanged. In your holy name we pray, amen. So this is the book of Joshua, chapter 24. So we're towards the end of Joshua's life. These are going to be the last recorded words that we hear from Joshua. I'm going to start at verse 14 and read through verse 28. So I'd invite you to listen now for the word of the Lord. Joshua says, "Now therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did these great signs in our sight. He protected us all along the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, "We are witnesses." And he said, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." The people said again to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and him we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made statutes and ordinances for them at Shechem. Joshua wrote these words in the book of law, in the law of God, of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak in the sanctuary of the Lord. Joshua said to all the people, "See, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord that he spoke to us. Therefore, it shall be a witness against you if you deal falsely with your God." So Joshua sent the people away to their inheritances. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I don't know if you grew up in a church youth group. And I don't know in your church youth group if you grew up going to church youth group camps. I love church youth group camps. There's something very intense about a church youth group camp. Maybe it's the sleep deprivation, or maybe it's just how teenagers go all in emotionally, which I appreciate. But maybe there is something about a whole week of nothing but just focusing on how much you love God. It just makes for this truly transformational week. My favorite week, my favorite kind of youth retreat story was a year that a group of us, the high schoolers, we had been together on this camp this whole week. And the last night we've gathered around the lake and we're worshiping and we're praying and singing and everybody is sharing about what a meaningful week it is, how their lives are changed and they're going to be different people when we come back from this camp. And then this one girl, she started to share it, and she's sharing about how overwhelmed she's been about with encountering Jesus in this week. Just, she's talking about all the ways he's shown up for her and these experiences that, that clearly Jesus is at work in her life. And then she says, "As a matter of fact, I look over there at that light that's shining over there. That is Jesus. Jesus is here with us." The high schoolers start losing their minds. Everybody's like, "Oh my gosh, Jesus is here." It's this holy transformational moment. And the leader next to me leans over and says, "Should we tell them that's the lights in the Walmart parking lot?" Nah, let's not tell them. Is they're meeting Jesus. Sometimes we get really caught up in the moment. We're so excited about God and loving God and following Jesus that we get really caught up in it. And I think that's what's happening in our passage today with the Israelites. They're on their own sort of spiritual retreat, their spiritual high as they've gathered together. And they're in this really sacred place, this place, Shechem, where they have gathered. We've seen Shechem several times all throughout the Israelites' story. Shechem is the first place that God appears to Abram after he called Abram to leave the land, and Abram begins to leave, and God appeared to him in Shechem and affirmed that promise that God would be with him, that God would lead them into the promised land. We see where Abram makes a covenant, establishes a covenant, and makes a sacrifice there in Shechem, and then later Jacob is going to do the same thing. Earlier in the very book that we're reading, Joshua himself is going to build an altar at Shechem, and then he's going to read to the people every word of the law of Moses. Do you see what I'm saying? This is a sacred place for these people. It's a holy lakeside of sorts. A place that reminds the people of the story of the God who's loved them and guided them and cared for them. And Israelites have gathered around very excited about what God has done for them. And Joshua, who has led them to this promised land, who has led them to Shechem, now in his old age finds this one last bit of wisdom and guidance to give to the people there. Joshua has called the people back to this sacred place to renew their covenant with the Lord. And the whole first part of this chapter 24 that we didn't read is this sermon from Joshua as he recounts all of the things that God has been doing for these people, all the ways that God has loved them and cared for them, given them grace and provided for them. He goes all the way back to Abraham and talks about Abraham and the covenant. He talks about Moses. He talks about the escape from Egyptian oppression. He talks about their journey into the promised land. And so here, all the people have gathered. They're in this holy place, and they're being reminded of this holy story of God's love and deliverance. And in this pivotal moment, then Joshua stands before them, and he says, now you have to respond. Now it's time for you to be people who put away foreign gods, the ones that you've been so drawn to your whole lives. It's time to put them away, to no longer trust in those lowercase g gods, but to be focused fully on the God who has been at work in these amazing ways all through your life. Joshua says, choose to follow this God, to follow this God completely, to live in a way that highlights and gives thanks to the God who has graciously loved you to the place where you are now. And so he says that line that we hear all of the time, the choice is yours, choose this day whom you will serve. And Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now the people, they're on their retreat high, man. They are excited about loving God. And so they're enthusiastically, we are in, we see the light, we're gonna follow. As a matter of fact, in order to really sell their commitment to following God, they call out this sentence, the Lord is our God. Now this is important. This is an important sentence because it's gonna be a call back to that original covenant. It's a call back to the book of Deuteronomy. This is actually a really important phrase from our Jewish brothers and sisters called the Shema that we see in Deuteronomy. That Moses he's talking to the people about the covenant with God and the land that is promised to them, and Moses says to them, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one, and goes on with this whole prayer that our Jewish brothers and sisters still say today. It's this important passage that they call to over and over again. And so here, in their own retreat, their church camp moment, then they're just feeling it, and they call out this line, because we want you to know we're in. We're going to do this. We're all in. But Joshua, in his old age, this isn't his first church retreat. He knows that following God faithfully, leaning in and truly following, it's hard work, it's a commitment, it's more than just a celebration in this time. He knows that the Israelites, like us, often get distracted and sometimes think that Walmart parking lots are lights of Jesus. So Joshua tells them, you can't just say that you worship God, but then keep checking in with those lowercase g gods every once in a while. You can't keep living like however you feel like living. You can't keep going on with the gods of social media or political allegiances or healthy bank accounts or being the perfect put together person and justifying it to yourself that's really just, it's good for you and your family or whatever it is that we say to justify choosing to honor the things we want to do over our relationship with God. I don't know if they had the same lowercase g gods back then that we do now. But certainly the drive to have authority and power and be considered good at being human has always been a temptation. And so Joshua says, y'all need to listen to me. God is a jealous God, which doesn't mean that God's gonna throw a temper tantrum because God wants what we have. But that God passionately demands an unstinting loyalty, steadfast devotion that isn't confused with other commitments. The covenant loyalty for which the Lord calls for is absolute, admitting no competition. The choice is not both and, it is either or. And so we see in the scripture, right, Joshua and the people go back and forth three times before the people finally say it enough that Joshua is satisfied, and yes, we will commit our lives. So once again, Joshua makes the covenant there at Shechem. It's this visible symbol of the invisible grace that God is offering to the people, a reminder that the people have chosen this God who has chosen them first. committing to live their lives in a way that reflects the goodness and grace that God has given them. And so this is what discipleship is. It's the repeated weekly, daily, hourly decision to declare the Lord is God and to commit to living that out. For us as Christians, it's a repeated commitment over and over again not to fall subject to the lowercase g gods that call to us, but to do the work that it is to lean in, to live and love like Jesus. This weekend, our speaker on the women's retreat was highlighting for us, and I thought, this is so perfect, but she was highlighting for us that the word disciple and the word discipline come from the same word, that the very word disciple calls us to the repeated efforts and work that it is to lean in and make these decisions, the continued work it is to do to live and love like Jesus. I don't know how well I've been able to get to know each of you, but if you know me even a little bit, you have figured out by now I am not an overly athletic person. I didn't even own a pair of tennis shoes until I was 30, which is a super fun fact. I have some now, don't worry, it's fine. But once, when I was in elementary school, all the kids in the neighborhood, we were all hanging out, they decided we were gonna play soccer. I did not want to play soccer. That did not sound fun to me, but this is what everybody else was going to do. And so I agreed that we were going to play soccer. And as we're running around playing, I look at the end of this area where we're playing. I look at the end, and Amos, my friend Amos, is just sitting at the end. I said, how come Amos gets to sit there while we're running around? They said, well, Amos is the goalie. Well, I don't know what a goalie is, but I want to do that. And so I said, well, I want to be the goalie. Then Amos, who was very much wanted to be part of the excitement, said, great, and happily switched places with me. And I plopped right down, very proud of myself for figuring out how to be a part of soccer without actually having to do anything. Unfortunately, at some point, the action did come down to my end. And the other team kicked the ball right past me while I sat and watched it roll past. They were furious with me, and I had no idea what I had done wrong. They explained to me then what a goalie was. My bad. While I had been quite enthusiastic about being the goalie, I had not done anything to figure out what it meant to be a goalie. And so in the same way, if we are going to join in with the Israelites in our enthusiastic proclamations that yes, we want to live and love like Jesus, we want to be devoted disciples, it means we have to figure out what that means. How do we live and love like Jesus? How do we do that? How do we be disciples? And we see from that 24th chapter in Joshua, we see that the whole first part is Joshua teaching the Israelites about the God who cared for them, teaching them the story of who God was and the impact God had on their lives and why that matters about how they move forward. And so then in the same way, then we need to get to know this Jesus, the story of God at work in our lives and how Jesus calls us to live and love, that we would be able to go forward and do those things. And so then we dive into the Word of God. There we meet God and we learn the story of that which God has done for us and who we are as God's people. It means that we study and we take seriously what the Word of God says to us. It means that we don't get to be comfortable just setting up our lives and living them how we want to live them. But we understand that hearing the voice of God in the Word, that witnessing the life of Jesus as it teaches us to be a disciple, it means it looks like living differently than what the world calls us to live. It means that being a disciple is not convenient. It's not what the world is going to dictate. It's not about just sitting in the end zone and watching what's going on, but rather about getting to know Jesus and being willing to do the hard work of living and loving like him. One of my favorite theologians is James Cone, and he says, being a Christian then is not primarily about theology. Rather, it is about living as disciples of Jesus and following his example, taking upon ourselves the cross of service to the poor and the weak. Last week in the sermon, I mentioned a theologian named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Bonhoeffer did a lot of his work in Nazi Germany. He was very upset with the German Christians and those who were quite taken with Hitler. And he talked a lot about authentic discipleship. Matter of fact, his book, The Cost of Discipleship, is still one of the most influential books on discipleship. People reference it all of the time. I would commend it to you if you are interested. But Bonhoeffer is stressing that true discipleship involves following Jesus even when it's difficult or uncomfortable. And he believed that the local church is where the place where individuals could learn to live this out in the context of the community of believers. He believed that true discipleship involves a commitment of living out one's faith in the world, and that the church is not a separate entity from the world, but rather it is actively involved in working to bring about social, political change. That the local church, this community, is the place where individuals can learn to live out their faith in the world and make a difference in their community. This is why we gather together as a Kairos community. This is why we worship together, why we dig into the Word together in worship. This is why we are in Bible studies together, pouring into the Word to get to know the Jesus who calls us to come and follow. This is why this weekend there were 32 women who gathered together in Big Canoe. And there were all of these amazing moments that I want to tell you about that I hope that you will find some of the women who were there so that you can continue to ask them about their weekend. But these moments where women begin sharing their deepest struggles that they are facing, the lowercase g's that call out to them. We sat up at night talking about what does it look like to be a faithful Christian in a political environment where we don't all agree. We sat up at night and talked about these struggles and griefs and community, praying scripture over one another, reminding each other of the God who is still at work in our lives, that in the midst of tragedy or interruption or confusion or difficult times, we still choose this day to follow God as faithful disciples. This is what it means to be a devoted disciple. I want to continue to invite you into that here in this community. I hope that you will scan that QR code that's in front of you because there's a whole list of different discipleship and Bible study opportunities. I want you to get plugged into one of those. This is important as we continue to lean in. We're going to start a theology group for people who have questions and doubts about the church. So see, even if you don't think you want to do it, there's a place for you. There's men's studies and women's studies. We'll start a whole new study if you want. There's studies that happen right before worship on Sunday mornings. There's lots of opportunities because we want to be together and dive into the Word to figure out what does that mean to be a devoted disciple, because we believe this is important to who we are and because we want to continue to encourage one another over and over again to make that commitment daily to be a disciple. The last thing I want to tell you is on that, what I showed you a screenshot on the website where we have listed out the four values and the wording that goes with that. And so I just want to share with you for devoted discipleship, we said, we believe to truly follow in the way of Jesus, we are called to engage in a lifelong journey of becoming faithful disciples. Through teaching and study, we claim God's story as our own and live into the teaching of the Word as we meet the demands of life. We deepen our relationship with God through study, prayer, extravagant generosity, and meaningful fellowship. Friends, indeed, it is our joy to be devoted disciples together. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy God, we do give you thanks for this time to be together, Lord, to look to you in all that we do. God, we pray that you would continue to call us, that we would indeed be devoted discipleship. In your holy name we pray, amen.